It's California Wine Country with Steve Jackson.
It is Wine Wednesday. That means California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today featuring the wine master at KJ, and I mean the wine master. This guy has been there since 92, became wine master in 97, oversees the entire Kendall Jackson portfolio. He is Randy Ullum. Also with us, Scott Lindstrom Dake from Thumbprint, and the director of comedy for Thumbprint, Steve Osborne, is with us, who's with us on Fridays during needle droppings. I think Thumbprint is the only winery in Sonoma County that has a director of comedy. Although I've had a few winemakers in from other wineries who crack me up, but what does the director of comedy do at Thumbprint?
Well, first of all, he's got to be funny.
He is funny.
That helps.
I'm just looking at him, you can see that he's funny.
Yeah.
Well,
he's funny looking, too.
No, I think Steve and I go way back. I'm starting to get a little jealous that he's been spending so much time with you, Steve. But
well,
okay.
I love you, too, Scott.
We have blends like Threesome and Foreplay and Climax at Thumbprint.
Right,
Print,
so you do.
Okay.
You do.
Well, and just really quickly, I mean,
yes,
you know, as Randy and I know, and you're passionate about what you do, you focus on winemaking, that, you know, you're going to make great wines. And I think that Steve's done an amazing job with that, with the comedy in the lounge. Not only is he a great comic, but he's put himself in the scene. He really understands what's going on out there with the comics. And he's put together an amazing shows every month because he's passionate about it.
No, he is, and he's very funny. That's why we enjoy him every Friday on the drive doing...
I'm not a comedy master. Like, you're a wine master, right?
No, you're not a comedy master.
So the question is, what's next? Did you peak at wine master?
That's true.
It's called retirement.
I didn't know.
It's called wine genius, then retirement.
There's like wine overlord.
That's a good question, Steve.
Overlord, no, that's interesting.
Yeah, I guess retirement would be. How much higher can you go?
I think we're going there.
Messiah.
Yeah.
Then he develops his own private brand, and then suffers because he can't sell it.
Right, then you go broke.
Yeah,
you know, that's an old saying in the wine business. It's fun to make wine, but tough to sell it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is so great that Sonoma State has the how to sell wine thing. You know, it's a whole business program.
It's a great program.
A lot of people coming out of that.
It really is, and we have them on all the time to talk about everything they're doing, and they're doing it right, just like SRJC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's just amazing,
yeah,
and the culinary
programs.
Thing. We talk all the time about how there can't be another junior college anywhere in this country that has done what SRJC has done when it comes to wine, shown farm, the
right.
culinary
The viticultural
thing.
Side.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's amazing.
So I have a secret special wine for Randy today.
Wait a minute. We didn't talk about this, did we?
Not yet. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll wait on that one.
Spoiler alert.
All right. Randy, explain what this is.
So I just poured everyone another glass of the Kendall Jackson Estate Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. Anderson Valley, of course, is up in Mendocino County. Renowned for Pinot, actually, given the folks in the Russian River Valley, kind of a run for their money, because it can be a little bit more intense, a little bit more tannic, a little more powerful than some of the wines in this neck of the woods, and it's all from, as are all of our vineyards, kind of mountains, ridges, hillsides, and benches. These Pinot vineyards are on top of the ridges. There's about four of them up there. Two of the vineyards are just above Boonville. If you were heading north, it'd be on the east side, but at the top of the ridge. And then the other couple of vineyards are up past Philo, in sort of the heart of the Anderson Valley there, the Navarro region.
The deep end,
but it'd be on the southern side or southwest side of the valley on those mountaintops. So a really cool climate, really a great spot. It is the hottest place, not in temperature, but in desirability for Pinots these days, it seems like, kind of looking at it from a global perspective. And it's right up there in the ranks with the Russian River Gang and the Santa Barbara folks with Pinots. So it's good.
No, I estimated
good stuff.
I estimated that the price on this would be way up there.
I thought
it might be $60-$65 because based on the taste and based on the structure, the fact that it's from a delimited region. But Randy, what's the price?
Yeah, it's about $35 plus.
Jeez.
So
per bottle.
Quite a bargain.
Unless it's Bottle Barn.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably.
Well, actually.
Bottle Barn doesn't have this? Or?
Well, the Jackson Estate appellation is only in restaurants.
Oh, this particular appellation.
So
okay.
When we do the vineyard designates, those would be at like Bottle Barn or any fine wine shop. everywhere.
So now I got to spring this bottle on Randy.
Uh-oh.
So this is from your cellar, Dan Berger, and he's got to put his glasses on.
Holy.
I made this in prison.
Maggie Hawk Storman.
Now you know about this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Maggie Hawk.
All right, so.
That's another
explain. Part.
Maggie Hawk is one of the vineyards that we source this last bottle that we just tried, the Jackson Estate, from. It's shared with...
In Mendocino?
It's in Mendocino. It's in the Anderson Valley. And Maggie Hawk...
So I figure, by coincidence... this is a vineyard designate. This is one vineyard, single vineyard.
Right.
And I decided just to spring it because I didn't know that you were bringing that one. You didn't know I was bringing this one.
Oh, we're going to have the dueling taste-off here.
All right, so Dan, explain this wine.
Well, it's the same basic vineyard as Randy's been using, but it's also from Anderson Valley, also from the same altitude. The difference is that this is a single vineyard effort, whereas the other wine is blended. And I think the difference is this wine is a lot more expensive.
Yeah, well, it says that there's only 223 cases of that produced, and we did a several thousand of the other.
Well.
And then the price point.
This is 66 a bottle.
66. So that was where you came up with a 65 for.
Well, I assume, but who knows. Now, the other thing about it is that Anderson Valley is not highly known by most people as a prestige region for Pinot Noir. But there have been a number of fabulous producers up there over the last, 6 or 10 years or thereabouts. And it's a really growing region. So whereas everybody knows Russian River Valley for Pinot Noir, they know the Petaluma Gap and some of those other properties there along the Sonoma Coast, the difference is that Anderson Valley is growing fast. And whereas the prices are getting up there, they're not quite all there yet. And this is a different style of wine.
But I think that the Anderson Valley as a region is at it's getting a lot of press these days. It is the hottest thing going.
Before, may he rest in peace, my dear friend Ben Pearson passed, we did about 2 or 3 weeks over a month featuring Anderson Valley wines.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, they're doing some amazing stuff. Yeah.
Well, I think the most impressive thing about Anderson Valley is that it's come along rather quickly. 10 years ago, nobody would have imagined that Anderson Valley would have produced the highest quality wines that are being coming out of Mendocino County. A couple of weeks ago, we had Greg Graziano from the other side of Mendocino County.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is a rebirth, I guess you might say, all of Mendocino County is reaching a point where it is now being recognized for the quality across the board. It had been discovered some years ago, but for some reason, it never really took off, and now it's being rediscovered.
Yeah, of course, the Anderson Valley is Pinot heaven there. Yeah. You wouldn't really find Pinot in Redwood Valley or up around Ukiah because it's too warm there. But you can, in that area of Mendocino County, there's spectacular Chardonnays. And then you get up to the northern end, and you have these killer Zinfandels, old vine Zins. So they're all over the place up there. And then on the sort of the central east side are some wonderful Sauvignon Blanc vineyards.
Scott,
we use a lot.
Scott from Thumbprint, your take on this? This Pinot.
Both of these Pinots have outstanding character, varietal complexity. Now I sound geeky. Put me on the spot.
No, it's fine.
No, I think
we love the geekdom.
Both, really representative of Anderson Valley, and back between 2004 and 2008, I was purchasing Mendocino or Anderson Valley Ridgetop Pinot Noir from a small grower up at the top of Indian Creek on the east ridge of Anderson Valley. And it was 100% Martini clone, which was very characterful, very different than any other Russian River fruit that I was getting at the time. And I really enjoyed it. But there's a certain style and a certain kind of grace and character that you get from these wines that is very representative of that region that both of these wines exude. So,
and I think also, you know, you look at the value in the Jackson Estate wine for $35.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's $30 less than the other wine. I don't see that much of a difference between them. And I think the in some ways there's a little bit more complexity in the Jackson Estate wine. So,
well, and you know, this is a great point. You're talking about how popular this is getting, Randy. The reason that we're not getting any of this fruit anymore is because the price of the per ton went so
skyrocketed
through the roof, right, that it just didn't make sense. So it was really difficult to acquire it, and they're selling it all day at $4,000, $4,500 a ton. So
I think and there's a limited production up there too.
Yeah, really limited. Yeah. Well, and let's be realistic. You can't make high tonnage Pinot Noir to any quality level.
Correct.
Doesn't work. I mean, you can do it with some other varieties, but Pinot Noir doesn't work.
Especially the cooler climate you get, the lower the yield has to be, for sure.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And that's where Wine Country buys their wine. As I've said for the 6 years or so that we've been doing California Wine Country, the winemakers, the winery owners, they come in and they say, that's where we buy our wine when they are going shopping. And they've had such a long-term commitment and relationship with not only Sonoma County, but the entire Bay Area wine country, and the best prices, the biggest selection on not just wine, but beer, craft beer and spirits and everything, on Industrial Drive in Santa Rosa, the fabulous Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, let me ask, we haven't talked about this recently, but your columns in the Press Democrat. You are the Press Democrat wine guy. You're an internationally known wine writer and critic, etc. Let's talk about today's. I read it this morning, sitting on my couch with a cup of coffee. And then we'll get into your wine of the week, which I love too. But talk about today's topic.
White wines that age. I think most people don't understand white wines that age because they taste them when they're young and they say, well, that's nice wine. Oh, let's finish it off. Put a couple of ice cubes in it and get rid of it.
I've done that.
All right? Fine. But when you have a wine that was specifically designed to go about a year to three or 10 in the bottle,
wow,
it's a tragedy that people will buy these wines, take them home and drink them. I mean, I think all the time of the number of great Australian Semillons I have in our cellar that are 10 and 15 years old and just beginning to show their incredible.
Yeah, but
character.
Most of us don't have a wine cellar.
Well, it's just
many of us.
Throw it or the patience.
Put it under your bed.
I wish
it
I
under
had
the
one.
Bed.
Well, I have.
I'll be dead in 10 years.
I've joked for years about how my wine cellar is in my trunk. It's the mobile wine cellar, but that's not good, so forget that.
I think the secret to all this is knowing that when you have a wine that has got a lot of acidity and it tastes a little sour, tart, whatever you want to call it, your first inclination is to, well, where's the sugar? We're going to add some sugar to this wine, or you're going to throw it away, or you're going to cook with it, whatever you do. Some of these wines were not intended to be consumed early, and I alluded to this in the column, a lot of it is European wine. When you buy a bottle of Sancerre from France, and it's a 2014 wine or 15, that wine was never intended to be consumed young. You put it away. You wait 3 years, 2 years, whatever it may be, just a little bit of time. Gives you some time to think about it. And then you finally get thirsty 3 years later. You say, all right, we'll try this stuff. And you're amazed at how good it is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with any fine wine. I recently wrote about Gurgage Hills 2012 Sauvignon Blanc. It was just beginning to show. Anybody who bought that wine when it was released about 2 years ago would have been drinking something that was like infanticide or vinfanticide, as they call it. I mean, it's you know, the problem we have with this is that most people don't think outside the box. If you've got a German Riesling or an Australian Riesling, and those wines are a little austere, no problem. Just put them away. They become fabulous. Like next week, I'll bring you a 10-year-old bottle of Australian Riesling, and we'll talk about it.
Beautiful. What is your wine of the week this week in Press Democrat?
Just because of Randy's presence here, Chilean Sauvignon Blanc. And it was a really wonderful wine. It sells for next to nothing. It's like $12. And the wine is just beginning to show itself. It's Concha y Toro, which most people don't have much contact with, except for, oh, well, it's $6, so I'll buy it. Here is their Gran Reserva, which sells for a big deal, $12, and the wine is fabulous. And right now you can drink it, but if you hold on to it for 3 years, it'll be even better.
You can read Dan Berger all the time in the Press Democrat or PressDemocrat.com. All right, and we're wrapping up California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn here on this Wine Wednesday. Dan Berger, my co-host, read him in the PD and at, I keep forgetting the...
VintageExperiences.com.
Thank you. I don't know why, I can't remember that. Okay, and today our special guest is the wine master at KJ, Kendall Jackson, Randy Ullum. Also, Scott Lindstrom Dake is here, the owner of Thumbprint Cellars and the director of comedy at Thumbprint, Steve Osborne. Scott Capurro, the great comedian, will be headlining a comedy show. They do it the third Thursday of every month. That's tomorrow night at Thumbprint in Healdsburg. Okay, guys, we've got to wrap it up, but you want to talk about the harvest, Randy?
It'd be an honor. Yeah. It's been a great year. So it started out very early, similar to last year, not the harvest, but the growing season. And people thought, oh, my God, you know, 2 years in a row of an early season. But then, thankfully, we got a lot of cool weather, overcast weather in the month of August because our sugars were climbing, but our flavors weren't there, and that slowed everything down. Some folks got a little nervous, but at the end of the day, the harvest kicked into gear at the very end of August and into September, and having that extra little bit of hang time there brought probably one of the best vintages for flavors that I've seen in a while. We're still picking. I know a lot of folks are done, but we'll be ourselves, we'll be down in the North Coast this Friday, Saturday, finally. The rains didn't really affect us too much at all, thank goodness, though we all wanted that rain. And then in Santa Barbara, today was our last day, picking our last Syrah. Last Friday was the last day in Santa Barbara with Chardonnays. And then we're still furiously and feverishly picking Chardonnay in Monterey.
Chardonnay.
Yeah. Usually that we always end in Monterey in the the first week of November.
Why is that? Why is Monterey behind the beat here?
It's cool. It is really cool there. And with that breeze, it makes for a nice long growing season. So we've got great flavor, great acid, great everything. But we won't be done until the end of next week. But that's still 2 weeks ahead of like a 30-year average. But we're blessed and we're happy and we're smiling.
And other winemakers and such that we've talked to recently have said similar things. I want to thank all you guys. We're out of time. Thanks to KJ Winemaster Randy Ullum and my dear friend and co-host, Mr. Dan Berger.